So I want to talk, I warned you about this. I want to talk specifically today about grief in the holiday season. And I want to make it as broad as I can, because not everyone has lost someone to death lately. Some of you have. But life changes for other reasons. It may be a divorce in the family. Maybe someone you love just can't be with you at the holidays. Can't make it to the gathering. A child has left home. Someone's in the military. Someone is sick. You may not literally set an extra place for them, but you may be acutely aware of their absence. So in your heart, there's an empty chair. But to talk about grief at the holidays, let's talk first about holidays, because they bring their own baggage. And I'm never sure what to do with them in church. There are three basic kinds of holidays, and they're all touchy subjects to begin with. There are family holidays, patriotic holidays, and religious holidays. Now, we observe the religious ones in church, of course, but on the others, I am afraid I'll get in trouble no matter what I say, and I'll get in trouble if I ignore them. It's hard to know what other people need, for me as a minister and for you as a community with each other, I think. So take Mother's and Father's Day, for instance. Should we acknowledge that not all families were the Waltons? Some people don't want to hear about dysfunction on Mother's or Father's Day. Others feel it's phony to pretend that all families were wonderful. And then, of course, there's our guilt about our own parenting, which we have even if we don't have children. Valentine's Day. How many people are actually happy and in love on any given February 14th? How many are alone or feeling obligated to go out with somebody they're mad at? Should we observe Valentine's Day at church? Yes, it's about love, but it's kind of a Hallmark holiday. Patriotic holidays. What about separation of church and state? Is honoring the dead a downer in unity? Can we talk about war without sounding political? Easter, did he really rise again? What does Easter mean to me? And now the holiday season that we are entering. Thanksgiving is a family holiday, specifically about gratitude. It's quasi-religious because most people thank God, but we know in truth it's really about food and football. And then there's Christmas. So let me just say this about that. Please remember that people and pundits have been complaining for at least 150 years about the commercialization of Christmas. Let me just say right now, the meaning of Christmas is entirely up to you. If you think people have forgotten the true meaning of the holiday, then don't you forget it. And that's part of the problem. We have in mind what holidays should be like or what they should mean. So here's my blanket suggestion. Let go of what holidays ought to be or what they used to be. Let them be whatever they are in any given year. Now, as we talk about grief at the holidays, I am not going to say love what is. Or you can choose how you feel, although you can. But feel whatever you feel. If you're grieving, it hurts to think that everyone else is grateful at Thanksgiving and everyone else is happy at Christmas. Grief is about loss of all kinds. But it boils down to the way things used to be and may never be again, or the way you wish things were. Death, divorce, empty nest, family that can't get together. Maybe your health isn't what it used to be. Loss of the past, loss of a dream, loss of the future. I have one friend who recently gave away most of her china because she realized after her divorce, she's no longer going to be the matriarch of a large family. If you're not grieving this year, then you do have something to be thankful for at Thanksgiving. I know that logic doesn't help when you're hurting, but let me just start with a few facts for your left brain. A holiday is just another day. Thanksgiving is only happening in America this month. Everyone else in the world is just going about their business. Christmas is a Christian holiday. Now, there are 2 billion Christians in the world, but even if every single one of them is clinking a champagne glass and laughing with friends, for the other 5 people, it's just another Tuesday. So think of how many people are working on the holidays. Hospitals, airports, police, fire, utilities, and yes, reporters. I worked on many a Christmas. No news is supposed to happen on holidays. So if there is news, it's a major disaster of some kind. And think of all the families this year who lost their homes in Hurricane Sandy. They won't even have a place for the holidays. And they lost their pictures and their decorations and everything that reminded them of holidays past. Holidays are difficult for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. If it helps to know you're not alone, let me assure you, you're not alone. And just for some perspective, you may have 70, 80, 90 holiday seasons in your lifetime. Most of them won't hurt. But pain is pain. And comparing your pain to others is not fair or useful. So I've been worrying all week about how I can be helpful about grief at the holidays when I'm no expert. There are experts, especially about death and divorce. There are books and counselors and classes. Molly Steele, who is not here today, is a certified grief counselor. She will be offering her grief class again early next year. She's available by phone in the meantime. I checked. We have some regular counselors who are members of this church. We also have people in this church who have been through whatever you're going through. You can always talk to each other. For my part, I came up with 6 ways to survive difficult holidays based on what has worked for me or what I've done wrong. I haven't always had grief at the holidays, but I used to spend a lot of holidays alone or depressed. So, 6 things to do if you're dreading the holidays, and this applies to the days around holidays too. First, remember that the dread is usually worse than the day. Have you ever dreaded the anniversary of some event, and then on the actual day you forgot about it? The pain is in the resistance, the dread, the fear, the grim expectations. And it's not always the first holiday that hurts the most. I think I've told you before, my mother died in November. That first Christmas was just a blur. It was the 3rd Christmas before it really sank in. I'm not going to have another holiday with her this lifetime. So if this year hurts for you, for any reason, go ahead and feel what you feel. Don't worry about negativity, self-pity, or drama. You're probably entitled to some of that. You will survive it, and it will be over. Do notice if you are numbing yourself, taking the edge off your feelings. I do it with food and television, sugar specifically. Some people do it with alcohol or recreational drugs or smoking cigarettes. For some, it's getting really involved in sports or the news or celebrities or other people's drama, maybe especially the lives of their children. You know how you avoid feeling your own pain. So just notice those numbing activities because it means you're not fully feeling. And I hate to tell you, and I apologize for saying, lean into the pain. I hate leaning into the pain, but I do know it works. It takes courage. It has to be maybe conscious, but I do end up feeling better, and I need fewer cookies. So that's my first suggestion. Feel your feelings, don't resist them, don't numb them, let it hurt. I'm sorry, but it may not be as bad as you fear. Second, make a plan for the day. Something to do on Thanksgiving or Christmas or the days around them. Maybe a little treat for yourself. You don't have to like it. You can grit your teeth. You're not required to have fun. Just don't sit home with nothing to do. Or go through the motions of the usual holiday if it's not the usual holiday. Make a plan. There's nothing wrong with some temporary distraction. I didn't know until I was grown that a lot of people go to movies on Christmas Day. I was always at a family gathering. I didn't know about the movies until the family no longer gathered. You can stay alone if you prefer, but plan the day. Writing, reading, exercise, music, dance around the kitchen, phone calls, go for a drive in the hills. Just don't wake up with the day yawning before you and nothing to do. Make a plan. Number three, get your feelings out. Give them somewhere to go. Some people do this by talking it out. Some do it with physical activity. I usually write. I just pour my feelings onto the page. Or take quiet time to go within. Because some big talkers who think they're sharing their feelings are really just running their story. It's a way for them not to feel. So keep track. If you hear yourself telling the same story or describing the same situation more than three times, even in your own head, you may just need some quiet time. Stop and sit with the feelings. Align with the well-being and oneness of the universe, and try not to use words if you've been using a lot of them. Using words, we can run our story even in prayer. It's Eric Butterworth who talks about the orgy of worry and self-pity that passes for prayer. Michael Beckwith in California says, don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big God is. Your feelings may need to come out, but they may also need to be pondered in your heart. So consciously give them somewhere to go. Don't resist the feelings. Make a plan for the day. Notice whether you need to talk or stay quiet. And fourth, I do believe the souls of other people are always available for communication. Whether that person has died or is just alive somewhere else, they have a higher self we can contact. We can ask our higher self to contact their higher self. Hey, would you tell so-and-so? We can send love soul to soul. We can say whatever needs to be said. And that's a big part of grief recovery, saying whatever wasn't said, telling the other person how you really felt. You can't hurt their feelings anymore. Complete the relationship. It may be anger or forgiveness or love that wasn't said. And you don't have to say it to them. In fact, don't say it to them. They don't even have to be alive anymore. Write it down, tell someone else, or have a conversation with their soul. We're all one. Everything is energy. Everything's connected. It sounds a little woo-woo, but I like that one. And here's another thing that may sound woo-woo, but it's not. This is number five. If it helps, remember that December 21st is literally the dawn of a new age. This is not about the Mayan calendar. It's about our little planet's location in the physical universe. As Earth orbits through the stars of the Milky Way, we are completing a cycle of 5,125 years, an age. And we're beginning a new age at the end of December. We are here for this. We are ending a 26,000-year trip through all 12 houses of the zodiac and starting over. It's a good time to ask, what is ending and beginning in your world? Here at church, we ritualize every new year with the burning bowl and white stone ceremonies, ending and beginning. And we'll do that again on December 30th. But the cycles this year are huge. So give some serious thought to what's ending and what's beginning for you. This could be a choice point. It seems like a wonderful time to set intentions. And much as we don't like to hear this, sometimes what we're grieving, the loss of a person or a situation, a change in our lives, has cleared the way for whatever's coming. At Passover, some Jews keep an empty chair for Elijah, the prophet who is believed to be the forerunner of the Messiah who will bring peace to earth. Not everyone sets a whole place, but they might keep an extra glass of wine. Because you never know when the door will fly open and Elijah will be there. As the story goes, he sometimes shows up as a beggar. And a lot of gods and prophets liked to play this trick. You show up dirty, stinky, poor, undesirable. Jesus talked about serving the least of these. Mother Teresa described people as Jesus in all his distressing disguises. I think about that when I go to Walmart. In unity, we believe that every person carries the Christ within, that we are divine and part of God. So if you're having a difficult holiday season, pay attention to who shows up for you. This is number 6. It could be family, friend, stranger, store clerk, the person next to you at church or at the movie. Someone you run into may be a messenger, the equivalent of an angel. Sometimes it's an animal. Or the message for you may bubble up from within or flash in your mind, an idea, a memory, an insight. It may come in prayer, a feeling of peace, guidance. We never know where gifts will come from. The best we can do is recognize them as gifts. Just be open to something or someone showing up to comfort you or bring you a message. And you might consider offering your services to be the angel for someone else. That's a short prayer. Use me. The old-timers in Unity talk about the divine law of compensation. It means our losses are replaced, the gaps are filled. The prophet Joel in the Bible said, God promised to restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. Those years of loss, hunger, doing without. The updated version is our favorite new spiritual slogan. It will all be okay in the end, and if it's not okay, it's not the end. Thank you. These holidays are just one point in time. They are our culture's celebrations in the sweep of human history. They are not the end. And next year we will literally be in a new age. But the really good news is that all of these practices are available to us every day, and messengers are showing up all the time. So number 1, the pain is in the resistance. Don't run, don't numb, just feel. I'm sorry, but the dread may be worse than the day. Number 2, make a plan, especially if you don't feel like it. This is not avoidance, it's self-care. Number 3, give your feelings somewhere to go. Get them out or ponder them within. 4, have a soul-to-soul conversation with anyone you need to, alive or not. Number 5, contemplate the endings and beginnings in your life during this momentous shift of ages. And number 6 is watch for Elijah. Expect Elijah, gifts and messengers that come to us heralding the Messiah, the Christ within, that brings us joy and peace. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's take a deep breath. Take another. And continue to breathe into that space, just allowing yourself to feel. You're feeling a little anxious. Or hopeful. Whether you're feeling joyful, just feel where you are in this moment. and bring to mind a person or a situation that may be causing you some anxiety as the holidays come. And begin to bring them to mind very clearly. If it is a feeling of gratitude, or perhaps a feeling of anger, maybe simply confusion. Whatever that might be, that person you know, that either within yourself or directly, you would like to or know that you need to have a conversation with. It may be simply to say thank you. Or I love you. Or I forgive you. And it's entirely possible that this person may be yourself. So if you can, allow yourself to open your heart to that place you know holds the deepest love that you are. And allow that love to guide your words. Allow the love to guide your words. Your deepest self, your best self, your highest self knows what the next step is. So hold that in your heart. Hold it in your mind. Take a deep breath. Knowing that in this time, in this space, it is all right. It is all in divine right order. That you continue to move into that greater expression of the divine within you. So let's breathe. And breathe again. And let it out. And join me in the Alleluia. Alleluia.